Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports, Trevin A. Jones. I'm here with the fellas. You know how we do it. Saturday morning. Wow, a lot going on today on Saturday. Got Ray Porter Jr. with me.
Hello, sir.
What's up, man? I got Vince Butts.
What's going on?
What's happening, family? And big guy's always listening. He's checking us out, making sure we're on point and looking good, looking healthy. And it's good to see you back up and doing your thing. Still got a little work to go, but he's getting there. So that's some good news. So that's another reason why I'm excited today. I mean, everything positive, man. Got to keep it positive, keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Talking about positive and moving, we're going to talk about a couple things today. We'll talk about the NBA. We're going to talk about the NFL, of course. My man, John McCann, you're going to think he's taking over the show today. He got to catch up with Desmond Scott, former Duke player, who had a chance to go to the NFL and decided not to go to the NFL. And we're going to tell you why. We'll do that in the show. And then also, we're going to talk about the WNBA draft was on Thursday night. And it was off the hook. And some people might be like, what? WNBA draft being off the hook? Wow, we'll get into that too. Got me excited. Not because the ladies were beautiful either, but because it was good stuff going on. So first, fellas, let's start with this. Today, the NBA playoffs are going to tip off. And the full schedule for today, and I go into that right away, and then we could talk about it later. Today, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, the Milwaukee Bucks, the 7th seed in the East, take on the Boston Celtics for the number 2 seed. Then at 3 o'clock, you have the San Antonio Spurs, who are the 7th seed in the West, taking on the Golden State Warriors, who are the number 2 seed in the West. At 3:30, you got the Indiana, and this is all Eastern Standard Time, the Indiana Pacers, who are the 5th seed in the East, will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James in Cleveland. At 5:30 today, the Washington Wizards will take on the Toronto Raptors. The Wizards are the number 8 seed in the East. The Raptors are the number 1 seed. You got 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Utah Jazz, who are the 5th seed in the West, will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are the 4th seed. The Miami Heat, who are 6th in the East, take on the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the 3rd seed in the Eastern Conference. That's at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, the Minnesota Timberwolves take on the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are the top seed out West this year. The Timberwolves are the 8th seed. They just got in after beating the Denver Nuggets in that winner-take-all last game of the regular season earlier this week. And then at 10:30, wrapping up the day today, the New Orleans Pelicans will take on the Portland Trail Blazers in Portland. Portland's the 3rd seed in the West, and the Pelicans are the 6th seed in the West. That wraps up today, fellas. Wow, you talk about a day of basketball. And Vince, our basketball analyst over here, he's just beaming. Man, out of all those games, you got 8 games because you got 16 teams total, 8 from the East, 8 from the West. Man, which one stands out to you? What series looks good to you?
One that's going to be interesting to me is the Oklahoma City and Utah Jazz.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at the matchup of Russell Westbrook versus Donovan Mitchell.
Who people are saying should be the rookie of the year.
Right.
But Ben Simmons is claiming the rookie of the year. We'll get into that later. Go ahead.
Obviously OKC has a lot more star power, a lot more veterans. Utah is young. But I'm curious to see how, like, you know what Russ. Like, he's 100 miles an hour all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I kind of see him, like, really going at Donovan Mitchell. Not like personally, but I think I see him kind of introducing Donovan, the rookie, to the NBA playoffs. I see him like he has done the last couple years, having a triple-double.
Yeah.
The first player ever to do that, two consecutive seasons.
Okay.
But I think he's going to be like a wrecking ball this first round. I think he wants to establish – hit the pecking order in his first round. I think he wants to set the tone early So I'm really looking at looking at that matchup.
So you think that I think Russell Westbrook is the man. At first, I didn't like him when he came out of UCLA and went to the Thunder playing with Kevin Durant and the Beard James Harden. But after they left, I'm like, yo, man, Russell Westbrook is the man. I mean, he's averaging a triple double.
Incredible.
Last year, won the MVP. This year, they're saying he won't be the MVP because of who, Ray?
Oh, James Harden, of course.
Whatever. Anyway, no.
You know you agree.
But it's cool, and I agree. Because James Harden led the Rockets to the best record this season, and he's just puts up the numbers. But still, you know, Russell Westbrook still averaged that triple double, and I think he's just gonna. I don't know if he's gonna school Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell being the youngster, but I think that, like Vince said, I think that I don't think Donovan Mitchell's gonna be able to contain Russell Westbrook. Because nobody in the league could do it all year long. What makes you think Donovan Mitchell's going to be able to do it in the series?
And here's something about Westbrook that really just surprised me. I mean, I had followed his stats all year round, too, but I didn't think he had that shot to get it.
He kind of quietly did.
Quiet triple-double. Yeah. He didn't have that. And obviously the tension wasn't really on him like it was last year. So, you know, that's very admirable. I'm sure Oscar Robertson's a pretty proud man.
And I don't think there's a such thing as a quiet triple-double, to be honest with you guys. I just think people just didn't pay attention.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Because they were just used to him doing it, but it's nothing quiet about a triple. Russell Westbrook is the
man. I mean, it's more figurative than literal, but it's just – I was surprised.
Plus, they had other storylines going on.
Yeah, so, a lot of other stuff.
Integrating Paul George and Carmelo Anthony into that squad.
Mm-hmm.
So you had some different dynamics with that team, and Russ wasn't at the forefront of everything that was going on, even though he's a leader of that team, without question.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to realize, like, he has, like, this might be it. Like, you think about, well, for Westbrook, like, this team, the way it's currently constructed, they need to really play well, because otherwise they potentially lose Paul George. I mean, he's a huge part of what they accomplished this year.
Yeah. Right?
And we've been talking all season long, NBA teams need three solid or three superstars, however you want to define them.
Mm-hmm.
They really can't afford to lose Paul George or Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony. I mean, so I feel like, you know, I think the window may seem to be closing for him. Because how else are they going to construct this team to have as players as good as Paul George or Carmelo Anthony?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not get those veterans, but I think they can get young players, and then it will take time. But then I see where, Russell Westbrook is aging. Mm-hmm. So I get where you're coming from, because he started in the league in 2008. Mm-hmm. So he's already been in the league 10 years.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
Which is incredible to think that. And he's been with OKC all 8 years that he's been in the league, or 10 years he's been in the league. Did you guys realize that Russell Westbrook – and I'm looking at this and – he's played in all but one game. He's only missed two games in the regular season in the past 3 years.
Yeah, he's a workhorse.
Last year he played in 82 games in the season, right?
Yeah.
So 82. He's played in. He's missed what four? He's missed five games in the past 3 years.
Incredible.
And last year he played in 81 games. This year and the year before, he played in 80 games. And I'll bring that up to say this: Russell Westbrook averaged last year. He averaged, as far as points concerned, Russell Westbrook put up a 25 points per game, and then he also had 10.4 rebounds per game, and he dished, as far as his triple double is concerned, he had 10.4 assists, and that was last year. This year, he put up 31 points a game. Excuse me. This year, he put up 25 points a game, had 10.1 rebounds per game, and he had 10.3 assists per game.
Yeah. Wow.
So, in this conversation, is becoming all about Russell Westbrook, and that wasn't the intent, because we're talking about the NBA playoffs. When you look at a player like that, I totally agree with you, Vince, when you say that you think that Russell Westbrook is going to welcome Donovan Mitchell to the league because he's a superstar.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this, Utah don't got a chance against them.
No, I don't think they do. I think I'm not going 4-1, OKC.
Okay.
I mean, I always like to see a young team like Utah, you know, your first time in the playoffs, your first go around, you know, get your feet wet.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, they really don't have much of a chance, barring injuries or something unforeseen. But yeah, I like to see them come out and compete. You know, get a game, see what the intensity level's like, and I mean, I think in the future, I think we're gonna see big things from Utah.
Mm-hmm. And Ray, which game today is gonna stand out? Which game in series stands out to you?
What I like is the Philadelphia versus Miami game.
The 76ers, you would say that one. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
They play at 8 p.m. this evening. The sixth-seeded Heat against the third-seeded Sixers out of the East.
And I'd like to see Philly pull it off and get it done. I believe they can do it. I believe that, and I say upstart, not from a negative standpoint, but this team is it, man. I know Mr. Embiid is not going to be there.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Yeah. Joel Embiid, this is game one.
Yeah, but you know, you still got Simmons, and just the fact that look at how they finished the regular season,
16 straight,
incredible, man. And so they are on a high, and they're not. It's not smoke and mirrors with that team, man. Not Miami, you know. It's just they're not. You know, Dwayne Wade is about to ride off into the sunset. They're not going to. I just don't see them as a match against them, and that's why I think in the Eastern Conference seedings really don't matter. Mm-hmm. Just like with Toronto, I believe Toronto's going to be gone. I know we talked about a different game there, but I'll stick to the Miami and Philly game. I believe that Philly going to show them what they're all about, and the more of the national stage, we'll see what this team is all about, and it's pretty exciting.
Just so you all know, Ray picked Villanova to win the national championship, and they won, so he's going to stay in Philly, and he's going to go with the Sixers for this series, but he didn't pick the Sixers to win the entire NBA championship.
That's right.
But this is the first round, so we're not going to jump ahead of ourselves. We'll stay right here in the first round. So the most intriguing game to me in the first round is also going to be the Philadelphia game with the – no, you know what? I'm going to say the San Antonio Spurs and Golden State Warriors because – those two teams, they play at 3 o'clock today. San Antonio is the 7th seed out of the West, and the Golden State Warriors are the 2nd seed in the West. Yeah, I did say number 2. Houston is the top seed out of the West. Golden State is coming in hobbling, so to speak. They lost, what, 2 of the last 3 games of the regular season? Mm-hmm. Something that they hadn't done before. Right. So they're not coming in on a roll. And then you got Steph Curry, who's been hobbled with injury.
Yeah.
And Steph is the get up and go piece in that offense when you got Kevin Durant and you got the other Splash brother and then you got Draymond Green. Right. And I mean, what's intriguing to me is to see if San Antonio can hang with them, number one, because I think they might be able to. Mm-hmm. Because I know Klay Thompson is still there, that's the other Splash brother. But without Steph on there doing what he does, that might prove pivotal in this series.
No. I really believe that San Antonio has a chance. And now,
even without Kawhi?
Without Kawhi?
Yeah, the only reason why I say that is because they've been doing it all season, you know, and the chemistry is set, at least for this year anyway, you know. So it's going to be a nice battle. The two best teams by record in the Western Conference the past few years.
Yeah, so LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have to be the man, I'm thinking, for the San Antonio Spurs in order to make it happen. Because believe it or not, the Golden State Warriors are still leading the NBA in scoring per game. They average 113 points a game.
No surprise, right?
You know, so... All right, so that's the most intriguing one to me. So what we're going to do is, my man, we talked about this rookie thing with Markel Fultz, I'm still thinking Sixers, look at me. Donovan Mitchell and then Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. People are saying Ben Simmons shouldn't be the rookie of the year because he was actually an NBA player last year, and then Donovan Mitchell should be the rookie of the year. My man John McCann is going to step in. I know you're going to dig this segment, and it's earlier in the show than it normally is because John's going to come back in a minute with an interview. So he's going to tell us what his impression is of this NBA Rookie of the Year.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
Look, now, Ben Simmons is not a rookie. I'm referencing the shade thrown between him and Donovan Mitchell about who deserves to be the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Simmons plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. Mitchell hoops for the Utah Jazz. Now, last season, Mitchell played for the University of Louisville. He was in college. Simmons, last season, was in the NBA. I mean, technically, Simmons is a rookie because injury kept him from playing last season. His first season since leaving college, he was not getting professional reps, but he was around professionals. He was around the pro game, getting acclimated to the NBA life, which is part of the adjustment from college to pro. I mean, if we're going to count prior experience, then give the Rookie of the Year award to Andre Ingram, called up by the Los Angeles Lakers after a decade in minor league basketball. Dude shot 47% from the field, 56% from behind the three-point line, 100% from the foul line. Now, granted, he was called up for just the last two games of the regular season. I mean, the Lakers ain't going to the playoffs, but it is what it is.
But they're not going to rook us. Take that for data.
Keeping you connected from the fields to the stands, I'm your man, John McCann.
So there you have it, my man John McCann, letting us all know that, Ben Simmons is not a rookie because he's been in the league for at least a year, to whereas you have Donovan Mitchell, who was playing at the college level last year. You agree, Vince?
I see where he's coming from. I do agree that Simmons has an advantage in being around professionals, getting a feel for how fast the game is played. I think if he had played last year, he probably would have put up similar numbers, you know. But I understand the fact that he got the opportunity to absorb what the NBA life is like, and Mitchell didn't get that. But at the same time, it is it's his first time playing. So, I mean, technically he is a rookie.
What do you think, Ray?
Yeah. I mean, I was looking up just what would qualify. Just like in baseball, they base it on at bats. Mm-hmm. What would you qualify for, either the batting title or an award? If the man didn't play last year, despite the fact that he was on the team, and if he's playing this year, then very much so. This is technically his first year. He deserves it. And look at where the Sixers are at. So, yeah, they need to give that award to him and stop messing around.
Stop with the madness, NBA. It's a wrap, man. Ben Simmons was in the NBA last year, so he wasn't a rookie. And it's like, I'm tired of this technically you're a rookie because you set out your first year. You were still getting paid. You're a pro, okay? So that can, you getting paid can make you a pro,
right?
Okay? So you're a pro. So you, okay, so tough luck. You didn't play your first year. So you can't come back your second year, which is actually your sophomore year, and say, oh, I'm a rookie of the year. No, you're not. And in my opinion, even though you didn't get on the court, you got to practice with the professionals. Right. Number one, the key thing to me is you got paid.
Right.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell didn't get paid well. With everything that's going on with the FBI and NCAA hoops nowadays, you know, you don't know if he got paid or not. But anyway, he didn't get paid because that's the way it's supposed to be. So he comes in, he has a great season this year, and he's a true rookie. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, he's a rookie. He's not a redshirt freshman. So that's what they do in college. You come in as a true freshman or you're a redshirt freshman.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, a redshirt freshman sits out the first year and then comes back and still is classified as a freshman, but they make him a redshirt freshman because he had a year experience under his belt. In the NBA, he's like, they don't have redshirt freshman or rookie of the year awards.
Contrary, Ray's coming, man. He's coming soon. Man. He's coming soon.
I'm going to tell you what he told me last week. I'm about to send an Uber to you so you can come to this side.
Just make sure you pay for it, okay, because you got all the monies, okay? But, man, I mean, and the principle does stand. He was redshirted, man, because, I mean, if you're going to qualify for the Rookie of the Year, your stats have to show it. And he had nothing to show last year, man. I mean,
I get that, but you still were a professional. That's the key. You were paid as a professional. It's like, okay, so you didn't get to play in the game because you were injured. You're still a professional. Okay, so that was your first year. That means year one is under my belt. Now I'm starting my second year right now. So it's like, okay, it's Donovan Mitchell. This is my first year. This is my first year in the NBA. I'm a rookie. Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons is my boy. I'm a fan of the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the rule, like Ben Simmons said, according to the rules now, I'm a rookie. I'm a rookie of the year.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to change the rules, then you need to change the rules. I go with that. So that's why I said knock it off, NBA. Just stop confusing people and making things just more complicated than they need to be. If it's your first year in the NBA, then you're eligible for Rookie of the Year.
Well, one thing for sure. Let me cut you off. One thing for sure is he'll get MVP votes. But go ahead.
Of course.
I'm surprised that it became a big deal. And the one reason I could see it being a big deal if there's money involved.
Right.
You know, like you have it in your rookie deal.
There's money involved because they have incentives on their performances. So if you get extra accolades, you do get extra money.
That includes all-star game,
every contract. I know at least certain players get incentives. I know that he may get paid, you know, he may get $25,000 bonus or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that happens for all-star. You get paid for the
being a this is true. Team.
Yeah.
This is true.
But I know, and there's a player in terms of if he gets all pro.
Joel Embiid gets a bonus if he makes first team all NBA.
Anthony Davis.
Right.
Anthony Davis is not this year, but he's due in the next year or so to get a supermax deal.
Oh, and yeah.
There's a lot of money tied to whether he makes all pro, all NBA. Mm-hmm. In that respect, I would understand why there will be some discussion, some back and forth. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the one cat, Andre Ingram,
right, who just came up from the G League, played for the Lakers,
played 10 mm-hmm. years in the G League,
yep,
and technically he's a rookie.
He is.
Well, yeah, but he came to the NBA for the first time this year. This is his first year playing in the NBA.
But he accumulated stats
at the
NBA still a rookie. Level.
But he's still a rookie.
He's still a rookie.
Yeah,
I give you that. But he played in the G League. That's not the NBA. It's like when you make it to the big stage, that's when you get to be the rookie.
Yeah,
if you don't make it to the big stage, you're a rookie when you get up there.
But he didn't accumulate any stats. So just him being on a roster is not enough to give him any awards. So he's a rookie until he accumulates some stats. And I don't know what the numbers are, how many stats you have to accumulate.
Oh, he's being like Ray right now.
I got another one for you too, but
it wouldn't be a fair race. Joel Embiid. Gets injured.
Right.
Has a red shirt.
But did he play?
His red shirt year? No, he didn't.
Okay, so he didn't play.
He didn't play.
But he was getting paid.
Yeah, but
he was in the NBA.
But you have to be if you're on that level. They gotta pay you.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what's his name? Ingram was getting paid.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting paid NBA money, but he was getting paid as a professional.
But he wasn't on an NBA.
And it's a feel good story.
Yeah, but he wasn't on an NBA
the dude
squad.
The dude with more gray hair than me stepped out there.
He wasn't on the NBA squad.
Well, there's probably a good reason for that, man.
he just made it to an NBA squad now. Like what they showed on TV when he got called up, he said, calls home and says to his wife, I got called up to the league. Okay, right. So you're in the league. So next year, he's not going to be a rookie because he only played two games this year. His rookie is over. This is his rookie year.
They probably could qualify.
Right, they probably could make a case. Yeah. He only played two games. I'm just saying.
Hey.
We had to look into it. Like you say in baseball, you have to accumulate so many at bats
right,
before your stats count. They do that for redshirt years. You can actually have stats your freshman year. You get injured in the first game.
Well, yeah, you got to play a certain amount of games. Right. If you don't reach that level, then you can actually come back and get in the year. But then they call you a redshirt freshman. They don't call you a freshman. They say you're a redshirt freshman.
True freshman.
And here's how the NCAA does a little bit differently. So they'll do a newcomer of the year.
Yeah.
Which is, how much different is that than the rookie?
Right. I can't believe we're having this conversation about the rookie of the year.
Why?
I think that once you start accumulating stats to a certain point, then you're considered, you accumulate time, then now you're accumulating stats, so now you're playing, you're a rookie. But if you don't get a chance to accumulate any stats, it's that red shirt.
My thing is this, and we have to agree to disagree, and I have no problem fighting either one of y'all. But anyway.
Oh, the battle.
If you're in the league, you're in the league. You're not half in the league and half out of the league. So if you're in the league for the first time, you're on an NBA team, and that's the first time. So you spend a whole year.
What about?
They going to call you a rookie the next year?
This year they did the first two-way contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So a player can get drafted by an NBA team, and he have a two-way contract so that he gets probably the majority of his time he's going to spend in the G League making X amount of dollars. But as soon as he gets called up to the NBA and plays in games, he gets paid an NBA salary, whatever the league minimum is.
It's what the NHL has done for years, too.
I don't know if Andre Ingram had a two-way contract.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Right.
But
next year they ain't going to call him a rookie.
We have to look into that.
Okay.
Because what if the NBA has where you need to play a certain percentage of games? He's only played two games.
Right. So he'll be a rookie next year.
So again, technically,
that's unfair.
They may consider him a rookie.
Yeah, that's unfair. That's just me, though.
Let's go back a few years. Remember Danny Green? Of course you do. Mm-hmm. Remember when he got called up?
Who's Danny Green and who did he play for?
He played for San Antonio. Oh. He still does play for San Antonio. He is a three-point specialist, and he's played for them since they were in the finals against the Miami Heat back when LeBron was on the team. And they pulled him from their minor leagues, mm-hmm. and he was on that team, and he immediately contributed. He, you know, playoff time, we know stats don't matter. Next year, though, it's just interesting that, and I can't remember. I'd have to look back at the stats and all that, but I'm going to have to check to see if they actually called him a rookie.
A rookie. That's my thing. All right, so we spent a lot of time on that, and that's cool because it was a heated debate, as you can hear. They were ganging up on me in here. But I don't need your sympathy because I can hold my own. It's mm-hmm. It's only Vincent Ray. I'm good.
Just to let y'all know, America, he always has a sword in his hand all the time. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I have my penalty flag in mind, you know? So.
Whatever, man. So that's the debate. Today, again, we went through that whole schedule with the NBA teams. NBA actually starts at 1 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon, and it's not over until 10:30 tonight. So if you're an NBA hoop fan, it's almost like March Madness again all over for you in the month of April because it's all NBA games all day today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA draft, which happened earlier this week. Also, we'll talk about what's going on in the NFL with Dez Bryant and Colin Kaepernick. And then my man John McCann is going to pay a visit to a Duke University running back who was outstanding in his college career, but he decided not to go to the NFL because he had other goals and visions in his head. This is Urban Media Today, Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. We'll be right back.
Check this out. Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio, for the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. And we were talking about the rookie debate that's going on. John McCann gave us the inside dope on it. And I guess people don't say inside dope anymore. I guess
hey, bring it back. Bring it back. You know what I'm saying?
This is a throwback Saturday. Not throwback Thursday.
Make it hip.
Anyway. Anyway. So we talked about it, me, Vince, and Ray. And Vince and Ray are ganging up on me talking about how Ben Simmons should be a rookie. And I'm like, no, he shouldn't because he was in the league last year. But Vince found something important that he could make a comment about that whole situation while we were off mic. What did you find out, Vince?
When a few years ago, when Julius Randle came in the league, he played 13 minutes of his first game. Then he broke his leg. So he was done for the year. So they said that even though he had only played in 13 or played for 13 minutes of a game, when he came back the following year, he would not be considered a rookie.
right. So if Ben Simmons had played at any time whatsoever last year, he would not have been a rookie.
Right.
This year.
Right.
Okay. Since Andre Ingram came in for the Lakers in the last two games of the season, being called up from the G League, he's not. If he plays next year for the Lakers, he's not a rookie.
It'd be a great story, but he won't be a rookie.
He should be, but.
At 32 years of age, ain't nobody a rookie, man.
Yes, man.
That's too much experience in life.
Well, you know.
Can you imagine that, though? Like, I mean, we're during this season, players, media has been talking about LeBron at 32, 33, mm-hmm. and how he has maintained a level of excellence despite being 33 years old.
Incredible.
So imagine that. A guy comes in. Andre Ingram comes in at 32, he'll be 33 next year. What would that be like on your body as a 33-year-old, not rookie, we established that, but first full year in league? I mean, that would have to be tough.
No, I'll tell you what, he's handled the G League, and he's handled it for 10 years, so yeah. Andre Ingram is up for the challenge, and I don't think his body has anything to do with it at this point because he's flying high, you know, mentally, spiritually, mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a professional athlete.
Right.
So he's kept himself in tune, his body in tune to go through the schedule.
But 10 years in.
Yeah, but think about it this way.
At almost the highest level. I mean, G League is still considered, you still have to consider these – a group of these guys, some of the best athletes in the world. If you consider the NBA players, best athletes in the world. I mean, that takes a toll on you.
Yeah, definitely. But you also got to think about this. He wasn't getting paid as much money as the NBA players.
Oh, absolutely
not. And he went through more trials and tribulations because he doesn't get catered to when he's on the road. Yeah.
Right. That probably means he, like I said, the toll on his body was much greater.
Right.
So he didn't have all the same advances that the NBA. Gives its players.
Right.
So I feel like the toll on his body is maybe a little bit heavier. So I'm just saying that imagine that as a 33-year-old first, you know, full year in league, you know, could his body hold up? And I know I'm off on a tangent here, but I just thought about that, you know, like.
Yeah, but I think it would. I don't think he'd have a problem next year.
Yeah, I mean,
if he got a chance to be on the team, I don't think he'd have a problem.
Absolutely.
Because he's not going to play every night. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No.
He's not going to be the starter. No. I mean, so he's coming in a reserve role. So
it could be a very older sixth man of the year.
I ain't say all that. But
why not, though?
I'm not saying the sky's the limit, man. Go right. for it. I'm not going to put
sixth man of the year, effective sixth man. I'll say that.
Okay, because I'm not going to put a roof on your limit and say you can't go outside. Nah, just right. sky's the limit. Go for it. I want to talk about the NBA, WNBA draft, man. Mm-hmm. Thursday night. What? Mm-hmm. WNBA draft. Asia Wilson.
Right.
Some of you said who? Yeah,
congratulations!
Right. 6'5" forward out of the University of South Carolina.
Dawn Staley,
exactly, mm-hmm. Hall of Famer who coached there. She also and Coach Staley also coached the Olympic squad, and she also led UVA to national championships, if I'm not mistaken, right. or championship.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And in her playing days, so her young lady, 6'5" forward from Hopkins, South Carolina, was the number one overall selection in the draft, and she was one of only three players coming out of the University of South Carolina to ever go in the first round.
Isn't that something?
Can you guys name the other two? Crickets.
You're right.
Very much so. Educate us, sir.
Jadeveon Clowney and George Rogers was the other one, if I'm not mistaken.
South Carolina's George Rogers, 1983 with the Redskins.
There you go. So, and that's awesome. Now I'll put Asia Wilson's name with that group, right. and that's elite status. I wanted to talk about it because Asia – after she got selected and you know, had these festivities going on, she got a surprise video congratulatory comment or remark from Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Google it, look it up, because they show her reaction to the remark from Blake Griffin, which was awesome, and she lost her mind. She actually had to look at it again.
I'm sure,
because that was one of her favorite players.
I'm sure.
And then number two in the draft. Was a guard out of Ohio State, Kelsey Mitchell. And she's only 5'8". So you go from 6'5 to 5'8". Number one pick to number two pick. Which is that you, Ray? 5'8"?
Well, 5'8 and a half.
5'8 and a half. Okay. So wait a minute. Did you declare yourself eligible for the WNBA draft or for the NBA draft?
For the NBA draft, but it's just nice to say that I could see somebody, a basketball player, looking them eye to eye, because you can't see many of the NBA players like that. I'll be a midget.
I just had
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas was 6'1", man.
I had to message you.
Or 6 foot.
Little Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, the other Isaiah Thomas.
With Sacramento. Came in with Sacramento and Washington. Which is cool because she's out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And what interested me about Kelsey Mitchell is that she was all-time Big Ten four straight years.
Wow.
On the conference team. Four straight years. And she's Big Ten Player of the Year three out of the 4 years that she was at Ohio State.
My goodness.
And she's only 5'8". So she is going to the I believe it's the Indiana
Fever.
I was excited about that. Now, when I talk about stars, the NBA, current NBA stars reaching out to the future WNBA stars, you had Azura Stevens, UConn Husky.
From UConn, right, yeah.
She got a greeting or a congratulatory comment or remark from Kevin Durant.
Oh, I know she was done.
And then she looked, and she was done. She was, and there's, if you Google it, look it up.
Yeah.
Even go to WNBA on Twitter. It's on the WNBA Twitter account. I'm quite sure now, because this was Thursday, you can look it up on Google, and it'll show you her response was just, I mean, just to see these young ladies who have already achieved such a level of excellence to be drafted, and then for their counterparts in the NBA to take the time to reach out and send them messages like
very
that.
Very nice, yeah, very classy.
I thought that was the coolest thing.
The dynasty of UConn, three in the first round. It just never
three
ends.
In the top 10.
Wow.
Which is because Gabby Williams was one. You had Azura Stevens, Kia Nurse. And Kia Nurse's brother plays in the NHL.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then not only that, but Lexi Brown, who was picked number 9 by the Connecticut Sun, she's out of Duke. Her dad is D. Brown. Used to play with the Boston Celtics.
Oh.
Yeah, this slam dunk contest winner. There was a lot of underlining stories in the WNBA draft, which made it even more interesting to me.
Barack Obama's niece.
Yeah, really? She was playing in it. Yeah, she
What's her name?
Leslie Robinson,
think about the Liberty in the second round.
Yeah, Princeton.
It's Barack Obama's niece. There you go. See, wow. There was.
That is
and
true.
The reason I wanted us to spend time on this real quick was they only had three rounds. And the interesting thing is that these women, there are background stories to these players. And so they're achieving greatness. So when you watch the WNBA game, if you haven't, I would say seriously, go check out the WNBA. It's going to be an incredible season of WNBA this year. I almost forgot. Another young lady that was drafted in the first round, Diamond DeShields.
I love that name.
Does the name sound familiar?
Delano DeShields from the Montreal Expos.
That's her father. Now her brother plays for the Houston Texans now, Delindo DeShields.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So, and he put out a tweet saying that we have to be the first family of and to have three first round picks in any sport.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Are you kidding me right now?
That is awesome. Wow.
So, and stuff like that is the reason that I wanted to talk about the WNBA draft, because you just have that. It's almost like sports royalty.
It is. Know. And that's history, man. There should be much mentioned in African-American history. You know, that's incredible.
Go to UrbanMediaToday.com. Check out the story on the website. And you say African-American history and royalty. And when you see the picture that we have posted from the WNBA Twitter account that's posted on our page at the top of the story, it looks like royalty.
Okay.
It, when you look at it, it looks like Nubian royalty on in that picture.
That is cool.
So go check it out. And I'm telling you, go check it out. You got to see for yourself. Yeah, you listen to me, but I'm telling you, go check out the website, UrbanMediaToday.com, and the WNBA story is there. And you'll see what I'm talking about when you see the picture. That's at the top of the WNBA draft, 2018 WNBA draft. Well, Vince was talking about President Obama's niece. That's interesting. It's like something that is like, wow, when I think about stuff like that. So.
Incredible.
All right, fellas, got to ask you about this. On Friday, Dez Bryant was cut by the Dallas Cowboys. Also, earlier in the week, you had Colin Kaepernick, who said that he had an invitation to come work out for the Seattle Seahawks. But the Seahawks sounded like they put him in a position to where he had to tell them, guarantee them, or say to them that he would not kneel, that he would stand for the playing of the national anthem. Thus, they postponed the workout.
That's a hot mess.
And then they turned around and signed Stephen Morris out of the University of Miami as the quarterback instead of Colin Kaepernick.
And they talking about they needed somebody more adorable and trustworthy behind Russell Wilson, and they want to That's hilarious.
So what'd you think? I mean, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm not turning around telling you I'm going to stand now. I mean, if I'm kneeling, I'm kneeling. I mean, that's just my belief. That's what. Because right now it sounds to me like it's the powers that be saying, look, you know, you can't kneel. So we want you to admit that you're not going to be able to kneel. So now you're taking away his freedom of speech, first and foremost.
I think.
And then you're trying to claim a victory underneath, I think. Because if you get Kaepernick to stand now, then you have the masses outside of the game of football that can turn around and look at him and say, well, bruh, you was just all about the money. It wasn't even about what you were really about.
I think I'm very disappointed in Seattle because I thought they were a little bit more, can I say, a little bit more open-minded about the whole thing, especially if I believe they were expressing their viewpoints on kneeling and the rights. And, you know, Kaepernick is doing, he's exercising his rights. And that shouldn't be, you know, an ultimatum or a condition for why he can't try out with a team. It's just wrong. And it pretty much is getting old, but it's just wrong indeed.
You don't think it strengthens his case for
oh, yes.
for collusion?
Well, that's interesting you said that, because they deposed, I believe they deposed Jerry Jones on Friday or sometime this week, or he was supposed to be deposed in reference to that collusion case. Mm-hmm. And I also heard from the so-called experts that collusion doesn't have to be all 32 teams in the NFL. It's just if you hear his name mentioned in a certain way amongst any of the teams, that could prove collusion in the league. Yeah.
It's a shame.
So I'm not feeling that. But you know what? Who wins in the case with Seattle? I know you said you feel sorry for Seattle. Stephen Morris. I mean, Stephen Morris was a rookie free agent. I mean, not a rookie free agent, but he's a free agent. Like I said, he played at the University of Miami.
True.
He wasn't bad, but he's not the veteran that Colin Kaepernick was.
No, he's not. I mean, a man that led the 49ers to the Super Bowl when he filled in for Smith, and I mean, his reputation, his resume speaks for itself.
Yeah, like we always say, he's a winner. I always said that, and he had Super Bowl experience, so it's like he should have had a team last year. Well, one thing is for sure, it's evident, and the masses seem to all be finally saying on everybody, when I say everybody, I'm talking about people that cover the NFL and cover football, they're saying that, yeah, he is being blackballed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just him. Eric Reed, who dealt with him,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, had a visit with Cincinnati but hasn't signed. So, I mean clearly, I don't know, this looks like a open and shut case to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how they could rule any other way but collusion.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I hope he wins both. I hope he wins the case
and gets
to play.
Right.
Because it's unfair. It's wrong on all levels. It's
yeah, I, think
like,
so
like,
too.
I mean, like all these cats, like you just can't tell me like who's Stephen Morris. I'm not trying to disrespect Morris.
Mm-hmm. Right, but who is he?
Who's Stephen Morris?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. I mean, a guy who has a resume.
Right.
Like, I mean, can you go out there and justify hiring people who have no experience over people who have experience? Mm-hmm. I mean, people are going to look at you sideways.
Oh,
and if the masses aren't looking at the owners sideways, like, yo, like this is not right.
Right.
Then something's wrong.
It's contradictory. I mean, you had what they had Goodell speaking about how players should exercise their rights, you know, and stand on what they believe in, and then you have this. It's a contradiction.
Look, if
it's hypocritical.
If Goodell, Roger Goodell should have come out by now and said somebody needs to sign this guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Based strictly off of performance, this guy is an NFL caliber player.
Right.
He's a starter in this league.
That's true.
he deserves an opportunity to play in the NFL.
He did nothing to nobody at all.
Only one problem with that. Roger Goodell's paycheck comes from the NFL owners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to step up and say somebody should sign Colin Kaepernick, because then that's him going against his own. Cutting off his paycheck.
Then he already signed his contract.
Mm-hmm. He's still getting paid. He works for the owners.
I understand. I'm just saying, it's just surprising to me. Maybe it's not surprising. Maybe that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be surprised that a bunch of white owners and white executives have decided that this black quarterback should not play for us.
Because he kneeled and he had an afro. It's the man for me, and that's just my opinion, but I agree with you. It's the vision. If you look at the vision, picture this. It's the old boy network in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is, Warren Sapp said years ago that it's like almost like slavery, because of the fact that it was the issue of him taking off his helmet, I think, in one time, and he celebrated. And he's like, yo, the NFL doesn't let you take off your helmet because you can't celebrate you, the individual, because it's about the team and it's about the league. It's not about the individual. And the NBA, they can't do that because it's all about the individual. Mm. So that's why the NBA owners and the NBA players now are coming to the – they're all at the table where it looks like they're working together as a team for the league. In the NFL, it doesn't look like that. In the NFL, it looks like owners, players. So the players are the workers for the owners. Mm-hmm. So, and it's straight up business. But that's how the business, that's how business is. You work for somebody. You're the, you're, if I own you as a commodity for the team, and I don't know if commodity is the right word, but I'm using commodity because NFL players are like a commodity because we as the fans, that's what we're, we fiend for the NFL players. We fiend for their product and their production. And it's like now me as the owner, I'm telling you like, well, dude, I got you in the contract, you know, so you're going to do what I say or I'm not going to play you. You're not going to work.
Like I own you.
And the NFL is different than the NBA and even Major League Baseball in that they don't fully guarantee their contracts. So as soon as right. I mean, they you know what? You're right. They are a commodity because mm-hmm. as soon as the value or perceived value drops doesn't reach. Now, I mean, I think Dez Bryant will. He's going to get a job.
He'll end up with somebody.
But I don't know if he's going to make, you know, the 12 and a half million that he made.
Right.
Nope. He was due to make this coming year.
Right. $50 million. Are you kidding me? He didn't even have a 1,000-yard season.
Nope.
I mean, I don't know if 12 and a half is an appropriate figure for him. I don't know if I could pay a guy, you know, $12.5 million for not reaching 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, the Browns are set to give Jarvis Landry.
That's insane.
$15 million a year.
That's insane.
I mean, look, I'm not begrudging the guy getting his money.
Right.
But, man.
Insane.
Jarvis Landry played with the Dolphins last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$15 million to play for the Browns?
Like, he's a solid receiver.
Which he is.
He's not a number one receiver. At least he hasn't shown that yet.
Right.
And he ain't going to show it there.
I mean, I think he'll be a solid player, but as long as Josh Gordon is healthy and living up to what he needs to live up to in order to play,
mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon is the number one receiver for Cleveland.
Yeah. He's going to get his, that's for sure.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. So, mm-hmm. And wrapping that up, let's move real quick. Somebody we didn't talk about last week, and it was quietly, this thing quietly happened. RG3 is back in the league with the Baltimore Ravens.
Congratulations, yes. Good
to see. And I remember seeing him being interviewed by Stephen A. Smith a couple months ago, and he said, Stephen A., I tell you, I will be back in the league as long as it's with the right situation. Mm-hmm. Baltimore Ravens, the right situation? Backing up Joe Flacco?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. I mean, it can't hurt him because Baltimore, and they'll say it themselves, Flacco's not 100% all the time. He'll go through his periods where he'll have injuries, and it's nice to have a veteran, a proven veteran, to get in there fill in the spot. So and it's funny that he never left the DMV in his whole career.
Oh, that's true. Washington Redskins, Baltimore Ravens. Cool.
He came Cleveland.
Yeah, he did go to Cleveland.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Brief. What do you mean you forgot about that?
I did forget about it.
See, Vincent going to be mad at you now because you forgot about that.
Well, please forgive me, Vincent.
Wrapping up, fellas, let's do this. Go ahead.
Oh, let me just say this, and it's something that we forgot to mention. How about this? A suspension. Mark Sanchez, remember him? Suspended the first four games of the season.
Is that noteworthy?
It is.
I'm just messing with you, man. Because we were talking about the man that was famous for the butt fumble.
Yeah. The more I watched that, it's just hilarious. And then the Patriot, it just took it and just.
I feel you. So Mark Sanchez might never see daylight again.
No.
Look, this dude, like we just got through talking about cap.
Mm-hmm.
Despite Sanchez and his suspension, like he'll be fine. Land right on his feet, won't he?
Yeah, somebody will get him. But see, that's the thing. He'll come out of that four game suspension, and the team will look at him.
Look at him. I guarantee he gets signed.
Yeah, like Jay Cutler. He'll get signed. Yeah, and Jay Cutler.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Jay Cutler, who.
So before the fellas get too mad,
and
my man John McCann sat down, talked to Desmond Scott. And if you haven't heard of Desmond Scott, he had a chance to go into the NFL. Des actually was the first player at Duke and still only the third player in the ACC to ever tally 1,000-plus yards rushing, receiving, and kickoff returns. Instead of going to the NFL, he wanted to focus on his family. And he had an idea. He's in Durham, North Carolina, and he opened up a fitness business. It's called My Dose of Healthy Fitness and Prime Athletic Training and Fitness Institute. Now, my man John McCann caught up with Dez, and this is what they talked about.
Hey, John McCann here, and I had the opportunity to huddle up with former Duke University running back and wide receiver Desmond Scott. That guy is still making moves. Dez, it's been how many years since you suited up for Duke University?
It's actually been 6 years. December 26th was my last time suiting up for Duke in Charlotte for the Belt Bowl.
What you doing that game?
I have no idea, to be honest. I know I had a good game. I had over 100 yards receiving, maybe like 16 catches, something like that. We lost. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
But, Dez, I still see you 6 years later. Here you are still smiling. Now, if I have my facts straight, You didn't make it to the NFL, right?
That's correct. And little do you know and people know, I didn't want to.
Come on, Dez, like, we're talking real talk right here. You a young man who did what you did here in Durham, North Carolina at Hillside High School and Southern High School. You went to Duke and had a nice career. You never had a desire to play in the National Football League.
No, I think my parents did a very good job at keeping life real for me. I played football because it was fun and I was good at it. And it brought joy to my family members and my friends. So I played it because I was good. You know, for the longest time, starting in middle school, I was better than everybody else. You know, so that's why I played. But I always wanted to do something else. You know, when adults ask you as a kid, what do you want to do when you get older? Football was never my response. It might have been lawyer, it might have been doctor, one of those things. But football was never, you know, the out for me, if you will. And then, as you know, I went on to teach K through 6 after I graduated from Duke.
Well, here you are, no longer in the game, but you're keeping other people in the game by helping them improve their health and fitness. Very nice studio here that I'm looking at. So obviously this is your passion now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely believe I was put here on this earth to teach. As a teacher of K through 6 students, the Lord said, no, your platform is too big, right? You have the opportunity to be a teacher of the minis, whether they are kindergarten students or people who I was just training, Miss Sherry, of 55 in age, you know. So I'm a teacher of the masses.
What do you want? It's like you're creating a movement here, man. Am I looking at this the right way?
Absolutely. MDH Fitness, which is the brand, our company, which stands for My Dose of Healthy Fitness and Prime Athletic Training and Fitness Institute, which is the location, is definitely a movement. You know, we're based upon faith, family, and fitness. And individuals know that when they come in here, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get that faith aspect. They're going to get a family aspect, whether they join with a friend or a family member or not. They'll make a friend a family member. And then the fitness part is, we believe that we truly are the number one fitness company in North Carolina.
Yeah, and I see all shapes and sizes in here. So it's like folks can come in here and not feel intimidated, but yet it's all about getting that work in.
By all means. I had a young lady comment on a picture of mine the other day, and she said, as a plus size woman, you know, I love to see other plus size women at your gym. You know, here we're all about work, period. We don't care how it's getting done. Are you working? Are you giving your best foot every time that you come in here? And if you can say yes, that's good enough for me, and that's good enough for all the members that's here as well.
Years ago, I remember you being at Hillside High School taking guys through a workout. Had you started a gym at that time?
I think I did. The end of 2013 was a busy, busy time for me. And I think it was the summer of 2014 that you saw me at Hillside. And if that is the case, I was, or I did have a gym, rather. Wasn't this large. I was at an 800 square foot facility with no AC and no heat. So if it was hot outside, it was hot in the gym. If it was cold outside, it was cold in the gym. And the Lord has definitely blessed me to be able to have heat and air here in this 11,000 square foot facility, whether I turn it on or not.
Well, you know, you're a guy who obviously knows where he's going now. You're telling us that the NFL was not your vision, your dream. So sitting where you sit now in this 11,000 square foot facility, was that your dream from when I saw you at Hillside High School, from when you had the 800 square foot facility? Was this your dream? Like, and give it to me real, Dez.
I'm not where I want to be yet.
So this is not the last stop.
No, definitely not. Whether we go larger or just multiple facilities, this is not my last stop. I actually have a floor plan of something that's much, much larger than this that's already complete. The determining factor of if I go larger is, can we keep this same culture and environment in a larger facility?
Before we wrap it up, Dez, I'm still stuck on the football thing. I'm still stuck on you being a Division I college athlete, and I'm going to go back to the whole thing of he was a university that used your body and did what they did, and yet you don't seem to be bitter, and you don't seem to have this mentality that Duke University owes you something. Help me out with that.
Well, they give it to me every time that somebody comes up and says, Desmond Scott, they used to play for Duke. And I said, yeah, I used to play for Duke, but now I do this. There's no need to be bitter. There's no need to be stressed. For what? You know, it's all a part of God's plan, the path, right? I just look at it as the next step in my life. And that was a ledge. I use this metaphor all the time. In order to get to the top of a mountain, you have to have jagged rocks and edges and ledges to climb onto. Right. And Duke was just that, you know, a stepping stone to get to where I am now and to continue to propel me forward to where I want to be in the next years.
So is that to say it was a quid pro quo that, you know, Duke did some things for you? You did some things for Duke. You didn't need to necessarily get paid at the time. You got a free education. You don't have any college loans like a lot of folks do. So you're straight.
I'm more than straight. I'm blessed, man. My girlfriend is here with me. We're progressing forward with this gym. We're learning how to be in a relationship and have this balance of life and business. Duke owes me nothing, right? They gave me? They gave me, they taught me how to balance being a student athlete, right? I don't think it gets too much harder than being a student athlete at Duke. To be able to balance being a student athlete at Duke, honestly, was one of the toughest things that I've had to do, you know, which makes being a business owner not that tough. You know, it's, I have my moments where I'm like, man, do I want to do this? Matter of fact, I have those pretty often. And I ask myself, you sure? And then I'm sure. And keep pressing.
Desmond Scott, I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed, man. I appreciate you for coming here and spending this morning with me. Good to see you as always.
Wow, there you have it. My man Desmond Scott. You know he played with Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder was the other receiver, one of the other receivers for Duke at the time when they played in the Belk Bowl back in, 2012, I think that was. And I know that John McCann, who always does an excellent job, John McCann was on point. He asked him what he did in the Belk Bowl. And Desmond actually had 5 receptions for 60 yards. He averaged 12 yards a catch in that Belk Bowl. And Duke had beat up on Cincinnati. Cincinnati had beat up on Duke in that game 48-34. So, I mean, good stuff, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent story.
And I like the fact that Des said that, you know, God's plan. God had another plan for him. And this is a healthy brother who put up good numbers. He's the first person to go over 1,000 yards rushing, receiving, and was kickoff returns. One of only 3 people out of ACC football. That's incredible.
Bad boy, man.
That's incredible. And then, go ahead, Ray. You were going to say something.
I was going to say, I remember his games. I remember when he would dominate in the ACC. I watched him dominate Pitt. I watched him dominate North Carolina. He was a bad boy. And I respect the fact that this is a good example of somebody when they know their purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And when you know your ordained purpose in life, it may not be what people expect. It may not even be what you expect. But you know what God is saying to you. And obedience is better than a sacrifice. So I salute him for it.
No doubt. And I thought you were going to say something, Vince.
I want to piggyback on what Ray was saying. I've found an article when they went to a bowl game. They were allowed like $550 to go shop.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like most players, they go shop, go grab some stuff for themselves.
Right.
He decided, I'm good. My family's good. Like, I'm going to use this money to take someone who's less fortunate than me, and I'm going to take them on a shopping spree.
Wow.
So that just kind of speaks to the kind of individual that this guy is.
Mm-hmm. And that's Desmond Scott that mm-hmm. we're talking about, University of Duke football player. He's been out of school, I think since 2012.
Yeah.
So he has his own business going on. It's in Durham, North Carolina. So if you're in Durham and you're listening to this, go to North Carolina-based fitness business, My Dose of Healthy Fitness and Prime Athletic Training and Fitness Institute. I think on the front of the building it says Prime Athletic Training and Fitness Institute. You heard him. He's like, you don't care how old you are. It's like, we put in the work. So he puts in work. So
I tell you what, you take a look at him.
Yeah, he's like a bodybuilder, right? Yeah,
then maybe I should go down there.
Maybe all of us. But yeah. Yo, good stuff, John. That's John McCann, the other member of this team. Urban Media Today Talk Sports. You don't really hear from him much, but you'll hear from him more often because he is part of this team. That's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. That does it today. Ooh. Remember to check out Ray got one more thing.
I have to say this because it's hilarious, and it's still in the world of football. You remember Mike Wallace, right? Of course, he used to play for Pittsburgh. Now he played for Baltimore. He played for Miami and Minnesota. This dude, he just got signed by Philly.
He's going to the Eagles?
Yeah. And that snuck under the radar.
And that happened on Friday?
It happened, I believe it was around Thursday.
Oh, Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
He will have a chance. You know what I'm about to say.
They just throw money.
You
just
know, he will have a chance to earn $585,000 if he weighs in less than 250 pounds. Have you seen that dude?
250 pounds? Mike Wallace.
I stood next to that boy.
That's, you know what? You had the same reaction that I did. When I saw it, I was like, Wallace?
Yes.
I click on it. I'm like, Mike Wallace?
Yeah,
like,
you bet.
Like 250 pounds?
Yeah, he's a stick.
No, he probably weighs 200.
But if
they,
even.
They, it's an incentive in his contract, basically just to give him $600,000.
An excuse.
I was going right. to say. Lord.
They might as well give it to the one from 60 Minutes, although he ain't even here no more. Man.
Okay.
He's a stick.
I was going to say, when did he get that much time off to gain that much weight?
You know how every now and then, like, you hear about a
weight clause,
outrageous incentive, like it, and I get, it's so easy to get.
Okay,
my suspicion is they're just sort of getting around the salary cap.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
So if I don't give this money to them in the contract as a guarantee, then I put it in as an incentive, an easily reachable incentive.
Yeah.
And then I can kind of skirt around the salary cap.
Man, that's just like giving me a clause on how much chicken I eat a week. Because they know I'm going to eat chicken. It speaks for itself, man.
He said it. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I said it. I said it and I meant it.
I didn't say that this time. I didn't get at him.
It's an easy. Go ahead and say it.
I could take
y'all on too. But seriously, I'm just saying, like you said, reachable clause. I mean, he ain't never going to get to 250.
Well, you can take his own. I already know how to distract you.
Yeah. You're funny.
Toss out a little chicken wing. Hey, here Ray goes.
Wait, I'm on a diet, man. I'm supposed to be drafted. No, never mind.
You the one said it.
It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
So I forgot.
Enjoy the NBA today. Your Trevor A. Jones along with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr. Big guy, we got you in our prayers, man. We'll see you all next week. There's plenty more this week next week. See why I pick on Ray? I pick on Ray every week. There you go.
See, laughter is good for the soul, but you're going to get it, Trevin.
I'm throwing a penalty flag right now. We'll see you next week.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
Check this out.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.